Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to RM Podcast FL. This is your favorite podcaster, Romina. So I hope everybody's having a great and an amazing day. And yesterday we launched a special episode, the story of two shoe salesmen in Africa. I really found that story really interesting when I first heard it. So I hope you guys enjoyed it as well and got the message through. So before we do get started to today's episode, I just want to take a moment and thank everybody that has listened to our episodes so far and has shared them on their social media pages. As always, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher's Radio, YouTube, Podbean, on our website, www.rmpodcastfl.com. And now we're also on Google Play, which I'm super duper excited about. So our audience keeps growing, you guys. We have more listeners in Europe, and we have even more and more listeners within the United States, which I find it pretty awesome, and I'm super excited. But today's episode as well. Today's episode is actually one of my colleagues. He recently got promoted to the management level for sales, and I'm really happy for him. But we're going to touch base a little bit to his previous life before he got into sales. He shares with us that he was into law enforcement. He was a police officer for years, and it's something that always ran in his family. So that's the career that he went with, but later came to find out that sales was actually a much better fit for him. We do touch base to how his life changed after he moved to the sales career, as well as we do touch base to a couple of advices that we would like to get from each a police officer out there. And actually, one of his advices helped me recently. Unfortunately, yes, I did get pulled over because I didn't use a signal, but I did not get a ticket, and I used the method that he showed us during this podcast. So go ahead and enjoy it, and I hope you guys like it. And as always, do not forget to write a review on the iTunes app. My goal is to hit 100, you guys, so each review would be greatly appreciated. But without losing any time, let's jump right into this episode. And do not forget, we have another bonus episode this Thursday or this Saturday. So the Saturday is my 10-year American anniversary when I very first moved to America. So I got another bonus episode for you guys. This week is full of awesome information. So without losing any time, let's dig right into this interview, and I hope you guys enjoyed. Perfect. Well, like I stated earlier, guys, on the intro, today's episode is going to be with Joe Anderson. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Well, definitely I want to thank you for taking a moment and doing this podcast with me. I know you have a pretty busy schedule.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely busy.
Awesome. So we do have some very interesting questions, guys. Then the main topic that I want to touch today is emotion intelligence. And whenever I read Emotion Intelligence 2.0, the book, if you haven't read it, definitely highly recommend it. Joe kind of popped in my head because he's just really good at it. So I want to touch base a little bit. But before we do get started, Joe, if you can please just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, like walk us, young Joe, now. Give us a little bit of background, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, raised in Queens. Played football and baseball my whole life. Graduated from Francis Lewis High School in Queens, New York. And moved down to Jacksonville, Florida when I was 20 years old. Moved down to Jacksonville, Florida. And I became a deputy sheriff at 20. Became a deputy sheriff. And met a lot of good friends that was in the sales industry at the time, and you know, just talking with them, and they always said, Joe, like, you really have a good way of talking with people.
Yeah.
You know, even when I was a deputy sheriff, they were always like, you could always like handle a situation without even going to like use of force.
Okay.
You
know?
So they're like, you should get into sales. And it was like a scene from Wolf of Wall Street, almost, where my buddy was like, oh,
is that your favorite movie?
Probably so. Definitely. But it was like a scene from Wolf of Wall Street. Uh-huh. I was like, you show me a commission check that you made that much money mm-hmm. just by selling something, like, I'll quit my job tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he literally showed me a check the last 3 months, and I was just like, all right, cool. Like, I'm getting into this.
Because a lot of people get, like, a little hesitant when you say, like, yeah, sales, you make money.
Exactly.
Like, a lot of people think it's like a scam or something.
Exactly. They really do. But at the same time, though, if you think about it, everything is sales.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what it is. Like when I was a cop, you know, it was me selling myself to the person, that person knowing that, hey, you're getting arrested, but how can I defuse a situation without going hands on?
So how did you get into law enforcement? Is it a family thing or?
Actually, it is.
It is?
Actually, yeah. My grandfather did 25 years NYPD, and my father did 20 years NYPD.
NYPD?
Yep, NYPD. So it was always in the family. The opportunity came. I took it. I did it for 6.5 years.
Yeah.
So, but then I seen it was a bigger and better life where I didn't have to worry about getting shot at, spit at, things like that, and make more money working in sales. So
I want to just kind of focus to law enforcement, because before I would freak out if I would see a cop car, you know, following me. Mm-hmm. And then one of my neighbors before, he was a law officer, and he explained to me, he's like, Romina, like, literally, like, those are the nicest people. Like, just think of this, which I never thought before. He's like, they might go to a car and anything can happen. So if you're honest from the very upfront, or if they tell you to get out of the car and everything, just do whatever it follows. Like, what advice would you give to those people that kind of freak out for, you know, if they see a police officer or just even have that conversation? Because is this authority, like, you just freak out?
Of course. I mean, just seeing lights and sirens behind you, you know, that right there could put you in a situation like, oh my goodness, we are freaking out, right? So my advice to anyone out there, I still do this to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I roll, if it's at nighttime, I'll roll all my windows down.
Okay.
I will turn the interior light on. This way, the officer, for his safety,
it's full.
He sees everything that's going on.
That's smart. Because I used to just roll the windows. One time I actually put my camera out because all this, you know how media is.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I totally agree.
And I'm not trying to bash anybody, but like it just got in my head for a moment. That's when I was new in America. I like put my camera on to record, and I was like, that was the nicest dude ever.
Exactly. And I think they get of course, everyone has their views on different things, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying every cop is good or every cop is bad. I'm not saying that. We have
But that's just humans, generally.
Exactly. That's humans, period. Cop, no cop. We have good humans, bad humans, right? So my advice to everyone out there listening, if you get pulled over, roll the windows down, turn your interior light on. This way, you're giving that officer the comfort and the safety saying, hey, I'm not doing anything, you know? And I guarantee you that officer would be a lot less lenient. He'll be lenient.
Really?
100%.
Well, I haven't got pulled over in a while. Hopefully, I don't.
That's good. Knock on wood.
I'm probably gonna get pulled over later because it's getting dark. So I'm gonna do that. So from police officer to sales, and he was a buddy of yours.
Yeah, it was a buddy of mine. He's actually my son's godfather. He got me into it, and I was just like, "You think I could really sell something?"
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, "Joe, like, you sell yourself all the time.
Yeah.
Think about it." And as I thought about it, I was like, "You know, he's right." You know, and then I seen the commission checks. I'm just like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do this."
I mean, we sell, like, I remember I read on Zig Ziglar's book, it says the best salesperson is a baby because they cry and you feed them and they always close the deal.
Yep, always.
So you always sell yourself in an interview, social media posting, you know, trying to get the guy or get the girl. Like, it's always sales, but sometimes people freak out if they put their, you know, their income based on sales.
Correct.
So did you do any sales training when you first came to Sales World? Or was it what was your first sales position?
My first sales position when I was like 14 years old, I worked at Modell's.
What is that?
Modell's is a sport authority, like a sports store.
Okay.
They sell sports memorabilia and fitness equipment, sneakers, things like that.
Is that only in New York?
It's in New York. It's big. It's huge in New York. And it's like a Dick's Sporting Goods down here.
Gotcha.
You know? And I worked there and just really getting in tune with the product and then showing the person how it works and how they can really get a difference on what they're trying to do. That right there was like mind blowing to me, but I never thought about it. You know, it was like, I'm going to be a cop. Like,
yeah.
My father's a cop, my dad was a cop, I got to be
a
cop.
Family thing.
Exactly. But then, you know, things happen, life changes, and I'm here today.
So, how did your life change after you got into Sales World?
Oh, it changed drastically.
Really?
Oh, 100%.
What was the biggest change that you're mostly proud of? The moment that you're just like, I'm so happy I made this move.
The biggest thing with me is, well, just for me selling, you know, security systems with ADT, you know, I had made a sale with this guy. He was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget it. And he called in. He was like, yeah, I'm really not sure if I'm going to go forward with this. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally just asked a couple more questions.
Deeper questioning.
Yeah, just deeper questioning, just more discovery, right? To go to really tie the benefit of why they get this, yeah. right? And literally 2 days later, he had the system installed. The next day, he had it installed. 2 days after that, he got broken into.
Stop it.
He literally called back and was like, thank you so much for just pushing me
to do it. I just got chills.
Yeah. Like, thank you so much for pushing me to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, you do save lives.
Bingo. 100%. So that was, you know, in 10 years of doing it, that really was one of the times that stuck out to me. And that was like the beginning of my sales career mm-hmm. where that really stuck out because he called back and made it a point to reach out back to me, back to my manager, the CEO at the time. And we're just like, I was not going to go forward with this. But by him just asking a couple more questions yeah. and tying in his security background with law enforcement and then his sales background with mm-hmm. it, he's like, he sold me right then and there with everything. And then 2 days later, he get broken into.
That's crazy. That's... So, emotional intelligence. I want to focus a little bit. Like I did express earlier, you're really good at it. Like, does it come natural to you? Or did you, like, through high school, you just learn better how to communicate, how to be the genuine person, and how to not necessarily get it your way, but find, you know, find the happy...
The happy medium.
Not more of the happy medium, more of, like, you know, sales, like, negotiating, but very peacefully without the other person realizing it.
Oh. 100%.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's literally
there's no happy medium.
There isn't a happy... Well, it's a happy medium because it's like you don't want to overexert them, right? So that's that you got to be the medium where they're like, okay, I'm liking this. Like,
yeah, wow. And but it sounds just too fake to be real.
It doesn't sound too fake to be real, but it's also like, yeah, this sounds really good.
Yeah.
I have to get this, right? So it's all about... And this is, I've always had this, it's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have confidence. I don't care if you're going to be wrong with it. If you have confidence with it, guess what? They're going to believe you.
Yeah. Have you ever had good confidence in you?
Always. I was always confident.
What do you think helped on your confidence? Because you
playing
weren't
sports.
Born with confidence.
Playing sports.
Yeah.
Playing sports, practicing, seeing results, actually getting results. That is... definitely huge. Self-awareness.
Yeah.
For instance, you know, without self-awareness, I mean, you really, if you can't take care of yourself and benefit from yourself, you can't help the next person. You know, a lot of people try to help everybody else, but it's like, hold on, you're not even straight with that. So how can you help me with that?
So as a leader, how do you help others to build confidence? Especially, let's say we have a new class that just hit the floor and it's nerve-wracking when you have, you know, multiple systems in front of you. You just got through a lot of materials of training. How do you help them build that confidence?
What's the purpose of you being here? What motivates you to get up and say, I'm going to go to work today?
So you find the why.
Without asking it.
Oh. Smart. Finding the why, not everybody goes there.
You have to.
But everybody has a why.
Everybody.
So what's your why?
My why? My family. You know, my 5-year-old son. He's my everything.
A little minion.
You know, exactly. You know, he's my everything. And also, it's just showing him that, hey, you can be great. You know, it's really like leaving my stamp somewhere. And it's not everyone, not mm-hmm. with everyone, but if I just was able to change one person.
Yeah.
You know, and I left my stamp with that one person, then I feel at ease, I feel at peace, and I can move on. You know?
That's so true. Well, I always say for the podcast, I hope you guys learn at least one new thing. But like we were talking earlier, and I already spilled the secret. Ray made me say it on the podcast about the nonprofit.
Yeah.
Like just helping one person's life to be like, I'm grateful because that was the most selfless thing that I did. I just feel like you're more accomplished as human.
Because
mm-hmm. it's not just hitting your goals or getting your things done or having your savings, having your house.
Exactly.
Like being self. The grave is just going to be you and you're not going to get everything with you.
You know.
And a lot of people freak out when you talk about it, but that's just the truth.
That's the truth. You ain't coming to work with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. You know.
That's true. So what was one moment that you can pick up and kind of break down the situation for us? One moment that you think your emotion intelligence just end up getting you like great results. You did share it like as a police officer, but if there's any moment that you can share with us. And what techniques did you use?
So, This was a real simple technique, and it was really effective with this one agent,
mm-hmm.
where I seen he was down. He was just, like, out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, about a week prior to that, me and him had, like, a one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking, and I literally asked him, hey, what motivates you?
Yeah.
You know? Like, what is your reason why you want to be here type thing? And he was like, I want to buy a new car.
Yeah.
I was like, what kind of car you want to buy? He was like, I want a Camaro. And I was like, oh, you want a Camaro with the drop top, the SS, you know, stick shift, six speed? And he's just like, no, I just want a basic Camaro. And I was like, well, hey, let's strive to get that SS.
Yeah.
And let's strive to go ahead and get the drop top and, you know, the nice flashy rims and everything like that. You deserve
to put a picture on his brain.
Bingo. You just said the key thing, a picture, right? So they always tell you paint the picture for the customer, right? So back to live, I literally seen him down. I was like, I don't want to go over there and be like, what's going on? Why you not motivated? So what I did before I even went to his desk, because I printed out a Camaro, and it had the drop top coming down,
mm-hmm.
the doors open. I literally just put it on his desk, and I was like, that's your motivation, isn't it? Let's go ahead and work towards it. And he was like, you remembered that?
That's nice.
And it literally changed him right then and there.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to really say anything. I put the picture on his desk and I was like, come on, let's get it. You know? Let's go towards this.
And I feel like those methods would work a lot better, and they always do, instead of like, if I'm down and let just be, and if you're down one day,
mm-hmm.
if I just come out there and be like, hey, are you okay? You can talk to me if you want. If in your head you're already crying on the inside and somebody asks you, it's like, press the button, and you're just like, blah.
Exactly.
But that's really smart. You just painted the picture, motivated him, and just kind of like a little slap in the face and a little, you know,
exactly.
pat in the back. Be like, come on, man.
A little pep talk without even talking to him for the most part.
So you're really good at motivating people. But how about if you have to have a critical conversation with them? Let's just say, you're my leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm misperforming, like, badly. And I'm just being slacking big time.
Mm-hmm.
How would you have a conversation with me?
Well, I want to find out why you're slacking.
Okay.
What's going on? What's really going on? Not work-related.
So let's just say I'm just not motivated anymore.
You're not motivated. Okay. Let's go ahead and find something that motivates you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. You want to buy a house? Oh, you like to travel. Right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So let's go ahead and where haven't you been?
Okay.
I'm asking, where haven't you been?
A lot. Places.
A lot of places. All right. So you
only
three
23
places.
States on
only
U.S. 20,
so
I got to do the other parts.
I'm going to do a road trip.
Oh, I love road trips.
See? There you go.
See,
so it'll be perfect.
In my head right now, I'm just taking a road trip. Mount Rushmore. That's where I want to go next.
There you go.
But that's
so
true,
though. Let's go ahead and work towards that then. You know? Like, how can I help you work towards going on that road trip?
Mm-hmm.
To where you don't have to worry about, do I have enough money for gas?
Yeah.
You know, if I get a flat tire, I don't have to worry about it. Hey, you worked hard. You have enough money saved up. You saved up more money than you should have. So now you can really enjoy yourself. And you're not worried about anything. And that right there is more relaxing and more, like, a good vibe, I say. Because the worst thing you got to worry about is if you're going on a traveling somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, well, what if this happens? Or what if that happens?
Oh, I know.
You know?
I got a lot of road trips, yeah.
Exactly. So if you don't have that, you're really at peace of mind. You can really take in your road trip.
Yeah.
You can really see what it's about, you know?
That is true.
So.
So whenever you set your own goals, do you, like, put up, like, a reward in your head? Like, if I motivate or if I have my team make this production, I'm gonna, you know, reward myself with this? Like, how do you motivate yourself?
Well, if I'm motivating myself, my motivation is to go ahead and if I have a 30, 60, 90 day goal,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to have my 30 day goals done,
mm-hmm.
in 20 days, 15 days, right? Hey, 10 days, if I get it done. If I can do that, that's motivating to me to go ahead and now I can focus on my 60 day goals, right? The 90 day goals. And if I'm completing those tasks, and not only just completing them, but I'm actually knocking them out the park, I can now focus on something else. And I can tell my story to someone else and say, hey, this is what I have planned out for myself. This is what worked for me. I'm not saying it's the same recipe for you.
Yeah.
But this is how I did it. We have very similarities. Let's go take a stab at it. What's the worst that could be? What's the worst that could happen?
What if you don't hit your goals?
If I don't hit my goals, then I'm going to sit back and think, all right, why did I hit my goals? You know, what could I have done to hit my goals? You know, so don't you make excuses.
You leave emotions out of it and you base on fact?
You have to. You know, it's a perception of reality.
So if you don't hit your goals, that's what you're telling the audience. If you don't hit your goals, you have to analyze the why.
You have to
look at the numbers and the facts.
You have to. You know, what could I have done better to hit my goal? Why didn't I hit my goal? Because it's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
No one created it for me. I created it. So obviously I thought I can accomplish that.
Yeah.
So I have no one to blame but myself, right? Because everyone has 24 hours in a day. Now, how you use that 24 hours is up to you. You know, if you want to drink for 8 hours out the day, hey, just know that the next day you're going to have a hangover.
Yeah, that's true.
So you got to prepare for it.
So if I meet you 10 years later, let's just say we have this interview, we split paths, I meet you 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Paint the picture for me. Where is Joe? What is Joe doing?
10 years later from now?
10 or 15. I'm sure you have a 10 or 15 year goal.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 10 to 15 year Joe Anderson,
mm-hmm.
He will be a director somewhere. I will, if not a motivator,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely be in a motivating role for a company, maybe for my own self. You know, because I feel that I can read people really well. I can relate to people with
mm-hmm.
several different life events that I have encountered. So, 10, 15-year-old Joe, I can definitely see myself in a director's role as a leader, you know, and not just the title
mm-hmm.
leader, you know, actually leading.
So you're with your family, a big event, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting an award.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what award are you getting that you really feel accomplished in life?
Well, it's actually funny you asked that question, because when I was a deputy sheriff, I received 2 life-saving awards. Right. It's funny that I had a life-saving award here, basically.
Yeah.
I got broken into, and then at the sheriff's office, I got 2 life-saving awards
mm-hmm.
where a guy tried to hang himself, and I was able to cut the... he had a sheet. It was actually in the jail where it happened at. And I cut the sheet, and I was able to save him. And that was an honorable life-saving award, because a lot of people think, oh, someone's in jail, they may be an asshole or a dipshit or...
Yeah.
You know? But guess what? They're human. That's a human life, right? I don't know the reason why he was in jail.
Yeah.
That's not for me to judge him. My whole thing is, I seen a human life dangling. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to save that life. Come to find out, guess what? That guy didn't even get convicted. Innocent.
Oh, wow. So but he
didn't have enough money for a lawyer.
Oh,
so he felt that, hey, I'm going to die in this place. Like, they're going to prove me wrong. There's no guy to go ahead and get...
There's no way I can prove myself.
My innocence.
It's funny to talk about it. I recently saw on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the... Darn it, I forgot the name.
With the 4 boys?
Yeah, the New York Park.
Central Park Boys.
Central Park Boys. Mm-hmm. You can't see us or you...
No,
it's on Netflix.
How they see us.
How they see us.
Yep.
I actually... It was over the weekend. I saw all the episodes.
All episodes, yeah.
And I ended up like... Like, I started at like 11 and it was so good. So
yeah.
I stayed up all night and
yeah.
It was like 7 in the
morning.
It's
a really good episode. I was actually in New York during those times.
Were
those time.
You?
Yep. Those boys actually got locked up in 1987 or 89. So I was, 3 years old? And they didn't get out until I was out of high school. Well, the last one.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Chris. I think his name was.
Yeah, Chris was one of them.
Yeah.
I forgot the names of them, but he ended up being the guy that actually did it, came up front because he's. One of the guys
yeah,
was in
prison
with
him.
And he just felt bad. He's like, I'm
gonna
save
him.
Yeah, they got into a fight. Yeah, but by like the
yep.
volume of the TV.
Yep.
I saw that and I was like, this is...
All true. It was all true, too.
But like emotionally, like it just...
Yeah.
The episodes that you have to pass.
And that brings me to a good point, though, because like I said, my dad and my grandfather was NYPD. So
mm-hmm.
when that was going on, of course, you've seen the episode. I don't remember if everybody else out there. But,
I mean, now they got, like, their own... They're actually doing
foundations and everything.
To help on cases where they're saying they're innocent and to like actually hire attorneys and everything, which I think is really nice.
It is. It's great.
Sometimes you just...
In the show, they've seen how the cops were basically persuading them right, to go ahead and tell them themselves and things like that. And that's one of the things my dad always installed in me, right? If you ever got in trouble, another fun fact, guys, if you ever get in trouble with the law, like, you give them two things. Give them your name, your date of birth, and let them know your dad's a cop. That's the only thing you tell them.
So what if my dad, let's say me...
So you, I mean, your dad.
My dad is not a cop.
Yeah, so you just give them, if my they're saying, hey, we want to bring you down to the courthouse for some questioning, right? First off, if you're not being detained, you don't have to go.
Okay.
All right, you can refuse to go there. But if you're being detained and they're asking you questioning, you literally say, hey, my name is Romina. I can't pronounce your last name, so. I'm never going to try. my name is Romina. Whatever it is.
Mohammed, it's okay. Whoever gets it wins. Literally, whoever sends something and says my last name right, besides all the Albanian listeners out there, I will send you a gift card. But the Albanian listeners, don't try.
But,
so I'll say my name is Romina.
Your date of birth. Yeah, right. Your name, your date of birth, and then you let them know, I'm going to talk to my lawyer. I want a lawyer.
And the state will provide you a lawyer if you can
afford one, correct. And I don't care what they say. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, we know you didn't do it. I said, no, nope. This is my name. This is my date of birth. I want a lawyer. Period.
Not everybody is aware of that.
That's fun fact, guys. I'm not going to charge you guys for it. Don't worry.
But straight up, this is my name. I'll identify myself. I need a lawyer.
That's it.
No matter how long they hold you, they question you.
That's it.
You do not talk to anybody but the lawyer.
If you want to talk to them, just know that they can go ahead and finagle it any way they want. I'm not saying all cops do it, but if they want it, it happens, exactly.
You might be mad and say something, and they're going to use it against you.
Bingo. Bingo. And now, they're tying in something else to the case that has nothing to do with the case at all, but that you told them something, now they're going to look into that, and now like, oh, well, how about this? You get yourself into something that you shouldn't have been into. But you just gave them a little piece of information, too much, where a lawyer, they can go ahead and they can dissolve that real quick.
So before I jump to the other question, because I do want to focus a little bit more on sales, but law enforcement.
This is life sales right here.
Yeah. Well, law enforcement, because as a female, I'm like 5'3", and I used to have, I'll just say it, I used to have a stalker in Illinois. And I was terrified, so take pepper spray with me, you know, all this, like, never drive in the dark. Like, what would you say to females or males out there? They're literally sometimes scared to even go for a run because they don't know what might be out there. Like, how can somebody defend themselves and be ready for it with the basics steps? You can always take bigger measurements. I mean, we live in Florida.
I was going to say, but you live in a state where you can have your gun license, you need to get your gun license, period. But yeah, you can definitely get pepper spray. You know, I would definitely take a self-defense class, you know. And those self-defense classes, they don't teach you everything to be, you know, a UFC champion.
Yeah.
But it'll teach you the basics to where you can get out of a situation. One thing I would tell any female, if they tell you to get in a car or they say, oh, just come with me to this place, scream, yell, and do not go with them, because they're going to kill you anyway. So if they say, if you move, I'll kill you right here, no one's going to kill you in an open area. They want to take you somewhere else where they could kill you. And if they take you to that place, they're going to kill you. So I'd rather die in the public eye, you know, rather than 100 miles offshore somewhere and no one's going to find my body. Make sense?
So for my female listeners out there, guys, share your location with at least 3 people. New technology, share the location with at least 3 people.
Download the AT Go app?
Yeah, the AT Go app. I've actually used it. I used it once because I was in school and I was so into studying that like I forgot it was like 10:30. And I literally walked into the parking lot and it's only my car and 2 other cars and I freaked out. And yeah, I had an exam. I was so focused into studying. Whoa. And I freaked out and I'm scared of dark. So I just pressed the SOS. They called me. I was like, stay on the phone with me right now. So I was like, I'm good. How are you? yes, babe. Like, I was just pretending like it was somebody else.
Yeah.
And I got in my car. I was like, stay on the phone. I was like, and like the lady caught it right away on the other end. I was like, just, I want to make sure I'm not being followed or anything. But like, my heart was going crazy.
Wow.
So I was like, no more studying on campus, Romina. Because when I get into studying, I'm up till late.
Television, yeah. Wow.
But A to T go. Yep, that will do it. All right. So enough with being scared and law enforcement. Tell me what fuels you. Day-to-day basis. I mean, you work, what, 60, 70 hours a week?
Yeah, right? So what fuels me is just literally getting the people that was the outliers that weren't doing so well and bringing them up and really making a difference for them. That really fuels me now. Before, it was me just making as much money as possible,
mm-hmm.
right? But now it's like I have so much knowledge, it was getting boring.
When did you have that flip, that switch?
It literally happened when I was just helping people out, just doing my regular shift,
mm-hmm.
and then just helping people, occasionally just helping people. And then one day, I was given this one agent rebuttals that I would use, and she had a situation, and she literally just read it verbatim from the paper. And the customer was just like, okay, pick up my credit card. And I turned around like, that actually worked. Like, that actually worked. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I knew it was going to work, of course. That's why I gave it to you. But in my head, I'm like, hold on.
What the heck just happened?
Exactly. And from then, I was just like, all right, Joe, you got something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't been scratching the surface yet. You know, like, I really want to get more into, like, reading more books, going into some motivational classes and things like that, just to go ahead and really learn how you can not just manipulate someone, but have someone do something without you even telling them what to do.
Yeah, negotiating. Well, it would be manipulating, but I want to kind of clarify it.
Correct. Because if you're manipulating, you think like, oh my God.
Yeah, it can be really bad. But I mean, if you go to like for example, I'm going to Tony Robbins in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's manipulating you. He's putting good things in your head and he's manipulating you to think good.
Mm-hmm.
So manipulation, a lot of people think it's negative, but
it's not.
It depends on how you use that power.
Exactly. And I've literally just been on a positive kick, just positive vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And any situation you can turn into it, you can get at least one positive from it. And if I was able to get one positive from it, I said, all right, I'm not worried about it anymore. You know, no matter what it is.
Do you read books to learn more about like leadership and everything? Or do you listen to podcasts?
Honestly, I haven't really got back into like reading books like that. I was never a big fan of reading books.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds crazy, but that's just me.
Well, I thought people that read books are nerds, and now I'm one of them.
So I'm more of a one-on-one. Like, I want to go ahead and I want to see your energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reading a book is cool, and you may be able to get the energy from reading that book. But if I was able to actually just sit down and have a conversation with the person and really see them in action,
mm-hmm.
I think I learned more from that way.
So you're a visual learner.
Visual, hands-on. Like, I love to be in the mix with everything, you know? Throw me in a war room.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Because if you have hands-on, you can actually learn more. It's bouncing ideas and everything.
Exactly.
So you cannot just sit at the desk and do papers. That's not you, huh?
I'm not an admin leader. No, I am a war room leader. You know, like, I want to be in a war room. I want to say, hey, we're shooting that way, and I'm shooting with the guys, you know, and we're attacking the problem, and we're really going to figure out, hey, what's the best way to attack this situation, you know? So that's how I like to motivate my people. And
so when you see a problem, do you typically just kind of step back and think about it, or how do you approach a problem?
Depends on the situation. Depends on the situation, because just from previous law enforcement and
mm-hmm.
training, and I still train to this day, you know, you always want to attack the situation, right? You never want to really retreat. But there are situations where it's like, let me step back and really regroup and get some more information, do a little more recon,
mm-hmm.
and then attack the situation and go for the kill.
Okay.
You see? So for a situation, for instance, if you have a customer where they're really on the fence of going forward with the sale,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to think to yourself, all right, what did I miss? What didn't I bring to the table to present to her to really tie it into her life on why she needs this? How is it going to benefit her? Is it really the price?
Mm-hmm.
or is it because I haven't shown her how it's going to benefit her in her life? Which one is it?
So, if you have X product and the customer wants Y product, do you see that the product cannot feed her? And sometimes would you say, like, hey, this is what our product does, but I don't think it's right for your situation? Or do you always try to find ways to fit into her situation?
Depends what they want it for. Depends the product. You know, if I feel the product can help her,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can benefit her lifestyle, oh, absolutely. The person will purchase the product, right? But if there's no need,
mm-hmm.
there's not a benefit, you call that the buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
That's what you get with that. So, yeah, the customer may have purchased it, but then they're right back in line returning it. So did you really sell it?
No.
No.
Might felt good for a moment, but exactly. That wasn't really a sell.
That wasn't really a sell.
So we met Joe in the future, but I met Joe at 18 years old.
18?
Yeah.
Whew.
What should I have told you at 18 years old? What advice should I have given to you so you can be where you are now earlier? So some mistakes that you might have made, you wouldn't have made, or... I mean, we all learn from our mistakes.
Of course.
So you wouldn't be the Joe that you are now if you didn't go through that experience. But what advice or...
Well, I definitely said I had to be more consistent at 18. I wasn't consistent. I was consistent enough more than the average 18-year-old,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't consistent enough to where I could have been more successful, right? I mean, I was a deputy sheriff for 20 years, so that's 2 years later I was a deputy sheriff. So obviously I was
that's really young, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously I was some kind of consistent.
Yeah.
I wasn't a douchebag, you know? But well, I wouldn't say all that. But anyway, I would definitely say I wish I had more self-awareness, even though I was confident as all get out, but also just being more consistent in growing myself rather than being the big fish in a little pond.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to be at 18, the big fish in the small pond, rather than saying, hey, let me go out and see what's really out there.
Let me explore,
you know? Travel a lot more. I travel, but not as much as I should have at a young age. You know, I got into a career at 20 years old.
That's really young. So, you married a career at 20 when you didn't even know yourself.
Didn't even know myself.
That's a marriage. That's really young.
Exactly.
Don't marry young, guys. Trust me. All right. So, two more questions. I just came up with this one. We all know the last question is, what is your definition of success? I'm always intrigued with that one. But my other question is, you're not scared of talking about death.
Mm-hmm.
Great. If you die, whenever you die, whenever your date comes, what are two things that you wish you left behind? And when people think of Joe, they're like, oh yeah, there's two things he taught me, or there's two things that he was great at. Two or three things. We can make it three things. Three things. Like three things that you, when somebody thinks of you,
mm-hmm.
and it says, this is what Joe changed my life because he told me there's three things, or three things that you left behind you.
So, like I said earlier, I want to leave
that.
There's
a deep breath there.
Absolutely. I really want to leave that brand, that Joe Anderson III brand, right? But what is that brand? What is it? That's a good question. You know, is it, oh, Joe is a good guy. He,
mm-hmm.
he was always positive. He always found a positive situation out of a negative. Okay, that's cool, right? Or is it the respect? You know, like, wow, like he was really a respectable guy.
Mm-hmm.
But how long does that last? Does it just carry on for just a month? Or will people really think about it 6 months later,
mm-hmm.
a year later, 2 years later? And not just on the day I died, no, a legacy.
Yeah.
You know? So how do you create that? That's the magic question. How do you create that legacy? How can you create your name continuing on? Not by having more kids. It's not doing that, no. But it's really just...
That's not the right way.
It could be. If you're George Foreman, right? But no, I really feel that if you can leave your mark on one person and that person can go ahead and make a mark on someone and then they say, you know who taught me that? Joe Anderson, right? So now it's going to be like a domino effect to where I taught one and that one person teaches two two teachers, four teachers, eight. That's the effect I want to have. I want to have that domino effect to where it's like, hey, I heard this from an old friend. Mm-hmm. And he learned that from this guy named Joe Anderson, the third. And that's what I would want to do. I don't know how it can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta let things play out. I mean, some people say, "Oh, I have a plan to do this, do that, do this." I don't really want to set up a plan for that.
When you make plans, God laughs.
100%. I like that.
Yeah.
Because that man has everything planned out already.
Sometimes you're mad at him. I was mad at him for a while, and mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I see what you did there, man.
He was trying.
Years later, I was like, I see what you did there, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Exactly.
I was mad.
Exactly.
But thank you.
Because they say when one door closes, the five more open up. You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes he just tests you to see how you're going to handle a situation, right? And depending on how you handle that situation, he blesses you with a way bigger reward. You know, everybody want to hit the lotto.
Yeah.
But guess what? If you hit the lotto, what are you going to do with that money? You may die the next day.
So we're talking about lotto. I started this new audiobook. It's called Doing the Impossible by David Patrick Davis. He was talking about the lotto. He's like, I love how people want to take the shortcut and you just Google and there's these books online. You can work 8 hours a day and achieve this. He's like, but let me tell you this, especially to those people that buy the lotto. He's like, statistically, people that have won in the lotto, they're in worse situations. And there is this one guy in North Carolina that he won the biggest lotto out there. But he took the tax of that, so he ended up having like $90 billion, like the biggest in the history of America. It was the multi-state lotto.
Oh, okay.
He's like, the guy ended up being robbed multiple times. A lot of his family members end up passing away because of overdose. He has been sued by multiple people. Like, it just, you want to take that shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't know because your mentality, you don't.
Exactly. Like,
your mentality, it's at $10 an hour. It's not at your personality. You don't think you're worth 200
million. Yeah.
200 million. An hour. Like, so that jump, it just.
And that's funny because that brings me to a point where a lot of people say, oh, money won't change me. Money won't change me. Bullshit. Money changes you. I don't care how you look at it. Money changes you because you're in a different tax bracket.
Yeah.
You got to act differently. There's different things you're going to be able to do now that you wasn't able to do, you know, 10 days ago. You can now do those things, you know, but it's going to be good. And it's going to be good for your family.
So do you think money is very important? Or do you think it's a great tool to get better status?
Well, 100%. If you have money, you can definitely build your brand a lot quicker, mm-hmm. right? You can definitely elevate your status a lot quicker. Do I feel that money is like a necessity in order to make it? No.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say, oh, money is not important. Like, we work
for money.
For money. We work hard for money.
For money, exactly.
Like, we choose a career that is
for money, right?
Stressful sometimes for mm-hmm. money.
For money, exactly. So I would say that money makes a lot of things a lot easier
mm-hmm.
when you have that cushion for that road trip, right?
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier to where it's like, all right, I could make it to Georgia. But then I may not be able to make it to North Carolina because I don't have the money for gas.
Yeah.
But I can do this, and hopefully make some money. But if you have it already, you can just carefree and just go, right? So it's the same thing with anything else in life. Money is the root of all evil when you're using it for evil things.
That's a good one.
You know? But if you're, and now you're just looking, what's evil things?
Yeah.
Because they can be evil, right? But if you're doing it for a good cause, if you're taking that money and you're really, you know, nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to take it and help someone that's really down and out. You're going to help that person now? Because you was that person, but you had a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But now you really have money. Are you going to go back and help that person? Go back to the community and really try to help the community with anything?
So, before I jump to the last question, my dad told me this when I was young. He's like, make a fist like this. Mm-hmm. He's like, nothing comes out, nothing, like, and everybody can do this. Like, just make a fist. Mm-hmm. Like, no air comes out or in. But if you open just a tiny bit, there's air. Same idea with money. If you open a little bit, you might drop some from the bottom, but a lot might come in. Mm-hmm. And it's a circle. Or you might lose a lot, but still you're getting in. Mm-hmm. And that's about looking out for others, not just being very tight to your heart, to your spirit, and being selfish. And my dad always told me, like, not to be selfish.
Cool.
And it kind of stamped in my brain. That's why I'm very passionate about helping others or trying to do things for others. Like, I'm not selfish. But that's a theory that my dad told us, like, just open your heart a little bit, but just think that's your fist. Because that's your heart. Like,
yeah.
That's the size of your heart.
Fish, yeah.
Yeah. So open the fist a little bit. Let the air flow. The good, even if the bad comes in, it will go out if you open it. But if the good comes in, it might be stuck there and the bad will come out. So it just, like, a flow.
Yeah.
And I remember even with money, I'm always like...
You can have it one day and be gone the next day. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like living your best life. It's like you want to go ahead and do what you want to do at that time. And that's one of the things I'm doing now is if I can't control it,
mm-hmm.
why let it bother me?
Yeah.
You only worry about what you can control.
Well, that's another topic, uncontrollables and controllables. A lot of people let uncontrollables get to them really bad.
I guess I'll see you next podcast.
Last question, and then we'll close it.
Let's do it.
What is your definition of success?
Definition of success? Just have my own podcast with Romina is my definition of success. Nah, I'm just playing. But it all depends on how you see success. You know, some people may feel that just waking up every day is successful. Just
mm-hmm.
being successful and able to just see their family is successful. It all depends on how you see it. But my definition of success, it's a peace of mind.
That's a good one.
Peace of mind.
I haven't got that answer yet.
Joe Anderson the third.
Joe Anderson the third. Oh my goodness. All right, well, we covered a lot. I really enjoyed this podcast. We touched a lot of bases too.
Yeah,
is there anything else that you would like to add to the listeners besides definitely look into Sal's career?
Yeah, right. For real. No, I mean, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, and having the event.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, I definitely want to thank you for your time, Joe.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. No problem.